Welcome to the A-League's Fantasy Show, where each week we bring you all the latest news and tips in the world of both the men's and women's A-League fantasy competitions. Of course, it's a week where we're going to need a lot of tips because it was chaos in the Isuzu Ute A-League over the weekend. Goals galore, shock results, and a real mixed bag that had some fantasy managers celebrating massive scores and others ducking for cover. My name's Lachie Flanagan, and I'm thrilled, particularly in such a week of chaos, to have two fantasy experts alongside me, James Dodd and Matt Comito. Welcome back to the show for both of you. Have you recovered from the insanity of round two of the Isuzu Ute A-League?
It's a funny question, Lachie. You talk about recovery. How have you recovered from the disaster class of management on the podcast last week? I don't know if we should get into how our own team performed over the weekend, but it wasn't a pretty score, which I think you really, really drove over the last week.
I think that's unfair. They say the fish rots at the head. I made but one trade, but I know in preseason when we were building the squad initially, you had a big say on the initial makeup. I only impacted on one player who actually, when we get into it later, didn't score that badly, all things considered. But you know, we could go on bickering for hours. James, that I'll bring you in as well, because I know you had a bit of preseason input. It was a tough week. It was a tough week for the pod. How are you holding up?
It was a tough week. I think my confidence is not as damaged as Matt Comito's after the shade thrown at him from last week. But yeah, but listen, you're going to get ups and downs. You know, I think we've probably started the season akin to Ollie Sale at Perth. I think we're enduring a bit of a difficult time at the moment. We will come through it. We have to put the brains together this week, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, we know there's the potential is there, the ceiling is there, but there's just been a few howlers here and there. And on that subject, let's have a quick chat about how our podcast team performed in round two. We started off high. We set the bar pretty strong in round one, 102 points. Definitely not a score to sniff at. I'm sorry to say, gents, if you haven't checked, round two, not quite as good. We scored about 10% of that, 13 in the end.
Can you say that again, Lachie? How much?
13. Headlined by a massive score of 12 from Jay O'Shea, who really did the bulk of the work for us. It wasn't all pretty, though, particularly in defense, where Ben Garuccio dropped a negative 3, only to be trumped by Callum Talbot, who was the source of quite a bit of pain for many fantasy managers with a negative 14. It doesn't make for pretty reading, gents, I have to be honest.
But, you know, the eternal optimist that you are, you like to point out that the trade that we made last week that you pressed the button on, Lachie Wales, scored 4 points. You know, on a regular day, you'd think that's not a great score. It's a third of our total for the week. I mean, you kind of look like a mastermind there, but I think it says a bit more about our shortcomings as a team in general than the success of the trade, Lachie.
I mean, look, to be fair, the whole reason that the trade had to be made in the first place, it was kind of your fault, to be honest. Dottie, you were the reason I had to make the trade was because we picked a player when I wasn't around that didn't play in the opening two rounds. The ins and outs are out for round three. Selim Khalifi is back, but he was nowhere to be seen the first 2 weeks, and we paid the price, and that was your fault.
You're speaking with a very jovial smile right now when you're heaping the blame on my shoulders, but I think if we go back and listen to the tape, you'll see that maybe the way that you went in on me was a bit undeserving. I don't know if we can play it right now.
But there was one big problem. And I think, Cam, last week we've obviously Matt Comito runs the A-League's Western Australia Euro. He's our sole representative. And, you know, sometimes we don't put the respect on Matt's name because he is a very shrewd fantasy operator. But I think you let him get in your head.
Look, I don't disagree. He was guilt tripping us into going, what about a Perth representative? Guys, we've had a miss here. Selim Khalifi did not play on the weekend. He's not going to play this weekend. surely, Pakua, he's got to be a change.
He's certainly got to go. I think this is why you can't give Matt Comito too much room to play around with this squad. We're trying to win here, and he's holding us back. So I think Khalifi is the obvious out that we've got to do. And I think it'll free up a lot of money, because I think that's the problem we've got at the moment. Only got 64,700 left in the bank. We need to find somewhere else, a good, cheap option there in the midfield.
All right, guys, who are we going to say? We're Dictator Comito isn't on the show this week.
The delusion in those comments, honestly. And, you know, listening back, you know, it's okay. It's tolerable. It's palatable. And then Cameron Doddy, is it? calls me a what? A dictator. The dictator of the team. I do not believe it. And the one thing that really grinds my gears the most is that Khalifi, that was all Doddy's idea.
Well, my idea, it was more out of to save you from daggers coming your way from the Western Australian press contingent for not having any representatives from Perth in our team. But it has to be said, you know, I don't think we can pin it all on Matt for last week, given that nobody came close to scoring a goal in our team, any of the midfielders. I mean, Jamie McLaren probably came closest, and that sums up our afternoon. I had a quick look, guys, before we came on, about how we're faring against the rest of our A-League fantasy counterparts in the world of fantasy in our private league. We are 101st out of 120-odd teams, so there's plenty of work to do this week.
I think we dropped about 75 slots in 1 week, from 102 to 13 in 2 weeks. But, you know, there's been a lot of animosity here in the first few minutes of the podcast, and there always is going to be when there's about 8 managers trying to take a team in a certain direction. But we've got a job to do, don't we, guys? Because, you know, we're not going to give up. A lot of fantasy managers will throw the toys out of the cot and close the laptop and never look at it again and try again the next year. But we're going to stick to the course, and we're going to make a few trades and look at the most viable options to fix the mess of round two.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into that, we might have to think about it. Maybe like a, you know, teams sometimes have a group bonding session in preseason so to get the harmony of the squad. I feel like our collective fantasy managerialship needs a similar thing. Do we need to, I don't know, go to Mariners Bali United away game or something to lift the spirits?
Well, we're all in separate states, so we have to find a midway point somewhere.
I tell you what, one of you get a people mover, you know, hire a camper van, whatever, straight across the Nullarbor, and then I'll be very happy to welcome you and show you the glorious sights of WA.
Okay, so shall we touch on something quickly, a little bit more positive outside of the realm of our team? We'll get back into the trades in a second, but as much as there were a lot of players who really didn't cover themselves in glory with their fantasy score this week, there were absolutely some massive hauls as well. Let's rattle off a player of the week each, and I'm going to be selfish as the host and pick the obvious one. Bruno Fornaroli was unbelievable. I think his haul of 44 goals in a half, headlined by a Rabona in Victory's 5-3 win against the Jets. It was a delight to watch. I think it was the biggest score ever by an individual player in A-League's fantasy, Matt. Is that true?
You caught me off guard there, Lockie. I have no idea in the slightest. But it was
full Wall Street style laptop screens up, and you can't even tell me that.
I'm scrambling. You know what? Let's just, if it's a lie, it's a lie. Let's say yes. It was definitely the highest score ever. No doubt. No second thoughts there. But you were in the stands at Amy Park, weren't you, watching the masterclass unfold?
Of course, mate. Greatness in the flesh. I'm talking about Bruno Fornaroli, to be clear.
Look, I'll pick up there. I know you kind of stitched me up there with the Bruno selection, but I think a close second, just for the impact on the pitch in a short amount of time, would have to go to Bernardo from Adelaide. A couple of goals in 20 minutes in a 6-0 rout of Melbourne City. I mean, this kid, one of the many kids coming out of the Reds at the moment, you know, was out with injury all of last season, almost the sort of forgotten member of that, you know, clan of, you know, Yuri Ivanovic and Iran Kunda and Johnny Yull and Panash Madanya and all these great players coming out of the Reds. And then all of a sudden, Bernardo pops up again, 2 goals, 26 points in round 2. I just thought that he was absolutely sublime, and his performance might have caught a few people off by surprise.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm going to throw in someone who's been in the media quite a bit this week. He's just signed a new long-term contract with Wellington. Alex Paulsen, I'm going to go with, because I had him personally in my team. Kept with him first week, had him in again second week, and he's been outstanding. Not just the clean sheet against the Wanderers in game one. Yeah, he didn't keep a clean sheet last week, but that penalty save, the amount of saves that he's actually making as well, because that Wellington defensive line is a little bit makeshift at the moment. There's a couple of youngsters in there, so that means he's going to be exposed a bit. Alex Paulsen for me, gents, I think he's been an absolute steal.
Roddy, this was supposed to be the part of the pod where we lifted the mood. We brought the positivity. You've just reminded me that our group team left Alex Paulsen on the bench.
There you go, Matt.
Hang on.
It was them last week. It was them, not us.
He says our group left him on the bench. Who was pressing the button, Lockie? Who was pressing it last week?
On the topic of pressing the button, we are getting towards trade period. But before we get into, I know Matt's got a big brain idea to potentially turn this team around. But let's have a look at the one trade we did make from last week. Of course, Selim Khalifi came out. Lockie Wales was his replacement. Now, on the face of it, bringing in a player who played in a 5-0 loss doesn't seem like a great trade. But you got to do it on the points differential. What have you taken out of the squad versus what have you brought in? Khalifi, big fat donut in round two. Lockie Wales, in a 5-0 loss, 4 points. Not the best trade in the world, but I think, I don't know, I'll let you guys be the judge. Do I get a pass mark for that trade last week?
I think you took our score from a deplorable 9 to a very respectful 13. So I think that was a very astute move. And in hindsight, you know, I will doff my cap to you, Lockie. Thank you for lifting us into the double digits in round two.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I think, I mean, like you said, at this stage in the season, a pass is a pass, and we will take a pass. We are not in a position to be demanding A stars. We need to pass these exams.
Well, in the interest of getting ourselves towards a more passable score, hopefully in the 20s at least this week, we've got to make some trades. I think that's pretty clear. Now, we've all sort of had a bit of a discussion pre-show about what we might like to do this week. And Matt, you've thrown something forward that's pretty radical. Of course, every fantasy manager has access to 5 trade boosts for the season, which allows them to make 3 trades in a single match week as opposed to 2. You don't usually like to make them too early, just because they're very precious. But Matt, you're suggesting that I think we might have to on the basis of last week.
Well, what I think that we do is burn as many transfers as possible early on, and then sort of try and make sure that we're not scheduled to be on the podcast in the latter rounds when they've run out of trades and, you know, 4 injuries on the bench and scrambling for what to do. But no, I think that it is potentially worth making 3 transfers this week, just because at the end of round 3, prices will start to fluctuate. So, you know, your bad performing players over the first 3 rounds, you can no longer really carry them when their price starts dropping and your overall budget, which begins at 4 million, I believe, starts to go low enough that you can't make those trades to rescue points. So, for instance, if we go through some of the players that are expected to rise and fall in value after round 3, now this is, of course, not a confirmed amount. It'll be very dependent on what they do in round 3 as well, and some players might be able to rescue some of their budget back. But you take Jamie McLaren, for instance, who we captained on the weekend, the most owned player in the game by an absolute mile to begin the season. Very expensive too, in the 500,000s, and he's tipped to drop by 99K at the moment by the end of round 3. Now, it's just one of those things where, you know, you look at your Borellos, you look at your other elite sort of level forwards in the game, and if something like that was to, you know, be taken away from your budget, it's just going to kill you in the weeks that follow. And then conversely, Bruno Fornaroli, has he 5 goals to start the season already? He's looking excellent at victory so far, and he's tipped to increase by 156K right now. Bernardo Oliveira, 119K. You know, these kind of players are the players who you might be able to get through the door now and save yourself some funds later in the season. And there's actually a full breakdown of the top 10s in both categories, men's and women's, in an article live on the A-League's website right now. If you go and use that for your sort of reference when picking your round three teams, it might be a suitable thing for you to use. But what do you guys think, gents? Do you think that we sort of pounce and make as many moves as we can, or maybe just stick to a couple? Because there's no hiding that we need some major surgery done to this squad right now.
I think you're right. I'm not normally one to just rip up the playbook and start again after this early on. But I think if you look at the way things are trending, especially when the performances we've seen, I think with Melbourne City with a new coach in, their defensive issues aren't going to be solved in one game. So Callum Talbot, I think he was unlucky because he scored the own goal and that contributed to his massive deficit in points. But I think if you look at the way that certain teams are playing and you look at, for argument's sake, the name that we tossed around earlier, Callum Talbot replacing with potentially Tate Russell. Mm-hmm. Tate Russell's played really well. Wanderers have kept two clean sheets in a row. That could be a good trade for us to make and probably not necessarily the standout replacement that everybody's looking to put in instead of Callum Talbot, if the rest of the league, we know how popular Callum Talbot is in fantasy this year because of his price and given that he was playing in Melbourne City in that defence, that he would be someone that they're going to look into ship out straight away. So I think you're right. I think if we could do three trades, capitalise with money in the bank going forward, given those price changes are coming, but also looking at maybe if we start being a bit more sensible in terms of fixtures that are coming up and you know, not looking at one game in advance, maybe two or three games in advance, looking at the run of fixtures the teams have got, we could sort this out.
Yeah, I think that's a good starting point for us, Doddy. I think Talbot with a break even of 32 is going to, even though he's not an expensive player, will hemorrhage cash, and we can bring in Tate Russell, who we know his value will go up. You bring up the what's coming up. I think it's Newcastle and Perth before the Sydney Derby, so it's a decent run of fixtures for him as a defender. We save 30K by doing it. I think we lock that in. I think the big one for us is McLaren as the captain. Is it time to pull the trigger? He's expected to lose, according to the break-even stats, $100,000 in value. That is a monster figure. Is it a straight swap for Bruno Fornaroli, gents?
I think that, like Doddy was saying, it's really tough to avoid being reactionary in these situations. And, you know, obviously Melbourne City have had a difficult start to the season, but you know that Jamie's not going to, you know, be blanking for the whole season. He's going to pick it up. He's going to be right up there in the golden boot tally. If there wasn't such a predicted price drop in his case between now and next week, I would maybe be saying to hold. But considering just the expected rise with Bruno versus the decrease with Jamie McLaren, you know, we could always do the trade back in a week's time and you know, maybe have an extra 50 to 100,000 in the bank. I think that would be extremely valuable for us. And like we were saying, after scoring 13 points, if we can give ourselves an advantage for the podcast crew next week to maybe have another few thousand in the bank to work with to continue the salvage job, I think that we do it. So I think from what I'm getting now, the shifting McLaren out is the definite go, but it's just whether or not we think that Bruno Fornaroli is the obvious choice to bring in. He's the most traded in player in the game this week. He's going to be in plenty of teams. And if he continues the way that he is, there could be a large percentage of managers who sort of just streak away from us by bagging his points.
Well, I was going to throw in just while we were talking about, we didn't discuss this before this one. If an alternative to Bruno Fornaroli, could it be Oscar Zavada? Because I looked at their run. We know that everything goes through Oscar Zavada at Wellington. He takes pens, which is always a bonus. We know he's going to be on set-piece duty in that regard. Their run of fixtures is okay. They've got Brisbane at home this weekend. He's scored 6 in his last 7 games at Sky Stadium. Then they're away to Victory. Then they're at home to Melbourne City. None of those fixtures are particularly easy, but the thing with Oscar Zavada is that you know he's going to start. You know he's on pens. And as I say, he is the central point of that attack. So could that be an option, or would that blow our budget in regards to other things that we want to try and do?
I'm going to throw one more crazy idea at you guys. McLaren out, Fornaroli in, activate the bench boost, and then we could trade one of Fabio Gomez or Angel Torres and get Zavada in as well.
Lucky.
I'm big on that. I'm big on that. I think
you listening?
I'm keen. I think if there's one area looking at the team now, and again, hindsight's 20/20, but we probably underspent on forwards. And part of that was with good reason. There was a lot of, you know, cheap value there. And Fabio Gomez, I mean, back-to-back scores of 5, considering that Sydney have lost both games, isn't terrible. It's not the end of the world, but I think it's been pretty clear from those games that he's still going to take a bit of time to go up to speed. So if we can handle not having McLaren for a couple of weeks, bring in Bruno while he's in that good vein of form, we've got the reliability of Zavada. I think this makes a lot of sense, Doddy.
And you know, with the thing is as well, with having watched Fabio Gomez in those two games, he's had no chances. They haven't really created anything for him. So the 5 points, as you say, that he's been picking up have actually been kind of handy, really. But the only other option I did suggest would maybe Thomas Waddingham would be cheap. He's going to start if fit for Brisbane Roar. Ross Aloisi absolutely loves him. Scott Neville says all the players call him Haaland in training at Brisbane Roar because it's the way he plays. He's a really good finisher. He was unlucky not to score against Sydney last week. Picked up an assist in that game as well. He could be an option.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, we'd be going the we've got two sort of unproven strikers with McLaren in there right now in Gomez and Torres, and you know, putting in a Waddingham as well, albeit an incredibly exciting option. You know, I'm just wondering if having, you know, relying on two players who have not yet, you know, hit the ground running in this league that we haven't seen get on a run at the moment, do we go for the potential of Waddingham or the seeming reliability that Zavada's going to be spearheading, you know, goals every single week for Wellington like he did last season?
I can't believe I'm saying this after the diatribe I went into against Matthew Comito on the previous episode. But I think I'm gonna have to go with Matt on this one. I think we bring Fornaroli and Zavada into the front line, and then Tate Russell comes in for Callum Talbot in defense. Do we have a quorum?
We do, and I think I fully understand basically what you're both saying is we are in no position to be trying youth at the moment. We need experienced fire.
I also think that there is a certain pleasure for the listeners that would be able to take out of watching us make these very extraordinary, extreme gambles, sitting down on Saturday, watching Zavada blank, watching Bruno do nothing, and licking their lips thinking about what we're going to do to come back next week and justify the madness. Because, you know, we didn't talk about Zavada before we came on here, and we've just been swept away. We've traded three players. People are moving left, right, and center. I think we just sort of get a bit swept away in the hype of the show. But, I mean, you know, it could be a masterful decision.
Only time will tell. I'll tell you if both of those players draw blanks on the weekend, there will be one person not enjoying it at me. But, you know, maybe hopefully it's going a little bit better for some of the other players in our fantasy league now that we're in the hundreds, I think, in our local league. It should be, or definitely should be. Matt, can you give us a quick wrap of how the top of the pops in the league and both across A-League men's fantasy sort of globally, I guess.
Yes. So topping the overall charts is Christian with 314 points. A round two total of 206. I reckon that he had 5 Adelaide players and 6 Wanderers players in his team, because that is quite remarkable. We'll go into the A-League fantasy show now. We did drop 78 places into 101st, but, you know, it just gives us a mountain to climb, which we love. And Sam, Team Super K, is leading the league right now on 281 points. Second place in our league, Matt, is 235 points. So Sam is really steaming away early doors. I think we got to do something about it. And I think that the combination of Zavada, Russell, and Fornaroli will get us back up there. Maybe top 50 by the end of round 3. Hey, gents.
Yes, no doubt.
Just, I've just looked at Sam's team, by the way. He's got Tom Aldridge, Scott Neville, Jay O'Shea, Florent Berenguer, Henry Hoare. I think he might be a Brisbane fan.
It's like the auto pick when you can just pick one team specifically. Well, you're absolutely right, Matt. We do have some ground to make up, some respect to regain. And if you want to join the Fantasy League and play against our team, chances are at the moment you'll have a good chance of beating us. You can find the link to join our league in the show notes for this episode on whichever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Gents, we need to get into the Liberty A-League. Of course, we missed it very dearly while it was away in international break. The Matildas scoring goals for fun in front of big crowds in your great state, Matthew, of Western Australia. But it's back this weekend. But there will be a couple of teams missing because Sydney FC are in AFC Champions or Women's Champions League duty. They'll be away. So they have a bye. That's probably the big thing heading into this week, what we do with those Sydney FC players, because James Dodd, we do have quite a few of them.
Yeah, we do. And I think most notably, it will be a decision, a predicament that I think a lot of fantasy players will find this year, given there is a certain red-haired assassin up front that most people are going to be looking to either keep or trade out this week. Courtney Vine is going to be a big discussion point for us. I know she's going to be one that's probably, Matt, I'll have the numbers exactly, but how many people actually own her. And Kirsty Fenton as well, I think, is another one that's going to be a very popular choice as to whether people stick with or look to sell. I've already come up with a suggestion, I think, that we should look to maybe counter with Courtney Vine. Matt, any suggestions for you so far on what you think we should do with our Sydney FC, Sydney gang?
Well, just quickly, Courtney Vine's owned by 44% of managers, and she's the most popular captain as well. So that, you know, sets the tone. I think that we are safe this week in terms of an alternative captain with Vesna Milivojevic. I think that she's just such a bankable option. See, I think we've got four. We've got three. We've got Kirsty Fenton, Tori Tumuth, and Courtney Vine. I'm often reluctant to. I mean, we're used to having the buys at A-League women's level because last year there wasn't an even amount of teams, and every week you'd have the tendency to want to shift a player out, and then the next week would come along, and all of a sudden you'd want to bring them back in, and you couldn't sustain that all season. I think that maybe if we shift one of them, we move on with Vine and bring in another player in attack. I think that Fenton and Tumuth might be players that we're just going to have to hold on to in the defence, let them sit on our bench, and then next week we're going to want to bring at least one of them back into the fold for round four.
Well, I know in the Isuzu A-League men's section of this pod, I ended up siding with you over the trades, but I think this week we might have to back in James Dodd, because the big sort of discussion point, the big moment of controversy going from round one into round two was the inclusion of Rihanna Polisina, and Doddy absolutely nailed it. Let's have a listen to last week. To be fair, I'll tell you one person who will be very happy with the top-ranked manager in women's fantasy at the moment, Bocca, is James Dodd, because he was singing the praises of Rihanna Polisina last week, holding firm after what was an underwhelming opening round. But Polisina was the star for the best fantasy manager in A-League Women at the moment, with 27.
And look, Dottie may have called me Cameron, even though I've been working with him for over a year, but I did take his advice. I did bring in Rihanna Polisina, and wow, she did very well for me. A great change for Hannah Keane as well.
Well, Dottie, you didn't get Campbell's name quite right on the opening edition of the pod, but you did get the trade bang on. How are you feeling?
Good. Very much Minnie came up big, didn't she, last week? I think opening round, she was my one non-negotiable. That when we were putting this team together, I said, I want Rihanna Polisina in the team because, you know, I was actually at the content day for the A-League on the week of the women's season launch. And I spoke to one of the questions I asked every single A-League women's representative there was, who's going to score the most points in fantasy? And about six of them said Rihanna Polisina, which is really interesting. So I thought, if the pros know what they're talking about, I'm going to back her in. She didn't do too well in their opening game, that 1-0 win away at Wellington Phoenix, but she came up trumps last weekend. She's a solid player. She's a technical player. She has a hand in set pieces along and that sort of thing. And I think that's so valuable in fantasy, isn't it? So Matthew, take note, my friend. Fake it until you make it. I will take the praise where it comes my way. And if not, I will deflect upon you and blame you anyway.
I will begrudgingly give you some praise here because I blatantly ignored your observations on Polisena and I did not put her in my team. And I think I struggled as a result. So, yeah, fair play, Dottie. But, yeah, I think Polisena's on penalties or at least will split the duties with Wilkinson or whoever. And she's looking quite good. Another member of the City attack that I've really sort of been enjoying watching early doors has been Holly McNamara. I think that she hasn't really put the fantasy points on the board yet, but if you're considering bringing her into your team, she looks such an exciting prospect. She looks like she's got her full pace back after the ACL, looks very sharp after the off-season. Funnily enough, she's not in my team yet, but I'm keeping tabs. But yeah, McNamara has been one for me that's pretty much stood out for the last 2 weeks, and I'll be watching her closely again this weekend as well.
Well, Dottie, in this section of the podcast, at least, you are now the resident trade master when it comes to the Liberty A-League. I think that the big question for us, obviously, we've got price changes coming in as we head into round three, but we probably need to make one trade, and that is no Courtney Vine. I feel like she's sort of the elephant in the room. Not only are Sydney FC off on Asian football duties, but she is injured too. And I know you've been pretty strong on a potential easy fix for at least this week.
Yeah, I have. Melina Ayres. A lot of eyebrows were raised, I think, when she moved from Melbourne Victory to Newcastle Jets, but we know how dangerous she is in front of goal. And I think coming up against, you know, they're at home this weekend, Newcastle against the Wanderers, the worst defence in the league this season. And, you know, they're a team that hasn't scored yet either, Western Sydney. And I think that could be really, really key. I think they're obviously low on confidence. Melina Ayres is the sort of striker that, you know, can really punish a team like that. And she probably should have scored last weekend as well for Newcastle. She had a good couple of chances. That would be my trade, Melina Ayres in for Courtney Vine. Although, I don't know. Holly McNamara's name cropping up into the conversation has put a little bit of doubt into my mind, given that, you know, she played so well last week. She created more chances than anybody else did in that game last week. I'm still leaning towards Melina Ayres, but what do we think?
The one issue with Holly McNamara right now is that we've also got Rhianna Polisena, Daniela Galic, Rebecca Stott, and Lissiane Prue, all from Melbourne City. It would be an absolute overload. I think that it would be a bit too much of a imbalance in our squad, especially with three Sydney FC players as well. You know, that's almost three quarters of our team. But she is a fantastic shout to look at. And if her performance is good on the weekend, we might be coming back next week and saying we have to fit Holly in our team somehow. Melina Ayres is a fantastic pick, in my opinion. Lockie, you did point out that she's got an expected price decrease of around 17,000 between now and round three, but I think that that's on the low side. That's something that we could probably handle. You know, if we put Melina in our team and, you know, she scores a brace, we'll be laughing. So I think that it's a safe bet. But just before we go into that, I'll bring some of the main projected price rises and fallers for you to consider just before we make that final decision. The top three players expected to decrease in value in the A-League women is Western United's Hannah Keane, last year's Golden Boot winner. A 75K decrease is expected. Isabella Folletta has a 69K decrease. And Melbourne Victory captain Kayla Morrison as well, a high price tag and a 67K decrease as it stands. And the price rises expected. Jenna McCormick, there's no surprise here after a fantastic start to life at Brisbane Roar again. A 99,000 increase is expected for her. And Perth Glory's match winner, game breaker Susan Fonsong-Cam, has a 96K projected increase, along with Chelsea Blissett, who has an 83K expected increase. So those are some of the key numbers. And again, you can head to aleagues.com.au to find the top 10 in both leagues, in all of those categories. So, boys, hearing those sort of statistics, are you wavering from Melina Ayres at all, or are we going all guns blazing for the Newcastle Jets spearhead?
I'm giving the keys to James Dodd.
I think Molina is. I'm going to stick to my guns. I think if you actually look out in the Liberty A League show league that we've got with our podcast, we're doing okay. We're 10th. So we don't need drastic changes here. It doesn't need major surgery, this team. I think Molina is. I think Molina is in for Courtney Vine is the pick for this week.
Yep. I'm clicking the button on that as we speak. As Dottie mentioned, we're a little bit more competitive early doors in Liberty A-League Fantasy, sitting in top 10 in the Fantasy Show League. Of course, you can head to the show notes wherever you listen to the podcast to join in on this league as well as the men's one as well. Gentlemen, that takes us to the sort of end of the fantasy review and probably the for the best that the Isuzu U-Day League is long a distant memory now. But it's tip time. Let's get into it. A big full weekend, a full plate of both men's and women's games to get through. I was straight down the middle last week, 3 out of 6. I think given the chaos that we had in the men's games, I think 3 out of 6 is an acceptable score. I'm getting a nod from Dottie across the Zoom wall, and I'm going to ignore the from Matt.
He's just upset. I'm not having it. I'm not having it. You need to be at least 4 or above, mate.
Okay, well, this is your chance to prove exactly that in both the men's and the women's. We'll rip through them, starting off with round 3 of the Liberty A-League. Wellington Phoenix taking on Brisbane as part of a doubleheader across the ditch from us. Matt Comito, who are you going for?
I'm going a draw. I've been impressed with both teams so far. Wellington will get a point out of this at least, but yeah, I'll go a draw for now.
I'm going to go for a score draw as well. Desmond 2-2, I reckon, for this one. I've liked Wellington. I think they're starting to come good. Macy Fraser's a gun to keep an eye out for our fantasy plans going forward as well. I'm going to go for a score draw.
An A-League's fantasy pod first. We all agree on the same thing at once. Score draw between Wellington and Brisbane. Canberra v Perth, a very interesting game. I think the first home game of the season for Canberra. But yeah, Matt Comito, what do you think of this one?
I'm going to stick with the winning formula and tip the glory.
Oh, I'm going to go for a draw again in this one. Canberra can score loads, but they're struggling to defend. And Perth have never won in Canberra. So I'm going to go for a draw.
Time to break the drought, Dottie.
Perth glory for me. They'll keep the good times rolling. Another double header on the way. Melbourne Victory taking on Adelaide. Who have you got, Matt Comito?
I'll go Victory. I think home ground advantage would be maybe the one thing that would separate these two sides in my sort of estimations at the moment. It's quite tough to get a read on either, so I'll go with the home side.
Yep, same for me. Victory. I've got visions of Emily Gielnick scoring as well this weekend, so I think we're expecting her to get some minutes, so I'm going to go for a victory win.
Yeah, it's been a tough start to the season for both of these sides, but I'd probably be a little bit more concerned by Adelaide than I have in Victory, so yeah, I'll go with the home side too. Western United against Melbourne City in an all-Victorian clash. Western United with an impressive come-from-behind win last time out against the Victory. Are we backing them in for another win against a Melbourne opposition this time?
I'm actually going to go City here. I'm just wondering whether or not the disruption of Mark Tocasso being with the Philippines for the past basically 2 weeks is going to have any impact. Yeah, again, two very evenly matched teams over the first 2 rounds, but I'm going to say City.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I think Melbourne City, I think it's a massive plus for Western United having Hillary Beale back. But I think Melbourne City for this one, just.
Yeah, I reckon Melbourne City as well. Personally, for me, I just think they've got been too impressive in the opening couple of rounds. Newcastle v Western Sydney. Now, I think we have to all tip Newcastle because we need Molina Ayres to score a lot of goals. Does anyone want to dissent?
No. 3-0, 3 goals to Ayres. Let's have it.
Yep, let's do it. Let's captain a while we're at it as well.
Beautiful. Easy as that. Starting off round 3 of the Isuzu Ute A-League on Friday night, Aurelio Vidmar takes charge of Melbourne City against Sydney FC for the first time. Two sides who really, really, really need a win. Which one do we think is going to get there?
I'm a religious believer in the new manager bounce. I back it every single time. So I'm going to tip City. I think that they're going to show a bit of bite this week and come out swinging.
I'm going to go for a draw in this one. based on the fact that I think Aurelio Vidmar hasn't had an awful lot of time to prepare his team for this. And I think Sydney FC, like last year, I know we didn't see the best of it against Brisbane, but I think their away record will be better against big teams than it is at home. So I think a draw for this one. I
agree with Doddy. Draw for me as well. Wellington, in the men's edition of this doubleheader, take on Brisbane, who have been very impressive to start the season. Ross Aloisi, is he going to get another win on the board?
Well, our league leader in the fantasy side of things with about 8 Brisbane Roar players, I think we need to bring them down a notch. So a bit of an Oscar Zavada special, I think, in Wellington this week, and a win for the Knicks, I'm going to tip.
I've said a lot of draws this week. I think draws. I think it's going to be a draw again. I do. I think Brisbane have started to get over the fact that they can now string more than a 45-minute performance together. They're really impressive against Sydney. I think a draw this week because I think the Knicks are going to be pretty good at home, and they're quite aggressive the way they play now under Italiano.
Yeah, Raw keeping the good times rolling from my perspective. MacArthur against Western United. Western in desperate need of a bounce back after a 5-0 defeat to Western Sydney. Will they find that desired bounce back, though? That's the question.
I'm going the Bulls here. They've actually had a pretty good start to the season. They've been very solid. Valerie Germain has settled in quite well. I think that MacArthur are gonna win this one.
I'm gonna upset it. I think Western might bounce back from that hammering, that horror show last week. I think there would have been some stern words said by John Aloisi. I think Nikita Rukavica is available now. Noah Bottich is. We know how dangerous he is. I like MacArthur, but I just think Western might get a reaction here.
I'm going to split the difference. It'll be a draw. One of the biggest original rivalries in recent memory on Saturday night, a top-of-the-table clash between Melbourne Victory and Adelaide United in Melbourne. This is a tough, tough tip.
How good is this game going to be, just quietly? It's going to be an absolute ripper. I cannot wait, and I'm going to tip the Reds. I think Adelaide are going to get a scalp on the road.
Big one. I think Victory. I think Melbourne Victory in this. I just think the form that they're in, the big players that they've got that are in form and playing well. Adelaide is so exciting, but they're a lot younger. It's going to be a big test for them to try and replicate that performance from last week. I'm going to go Victory in this one, but just, I think, 1-0.
Yeah, I think regardless of result, the neutral is definitely going to be the winner for that game. But I've got Adelaide. I was so impressed by that demolition of Melbourne City. I've got to go with them. Perth Glory taking on the reigning champions, Central Coast. Matt, are you going to stick with your West Australian bias?
I actually don't think that I've tipped against Perth in the start of this.
How do you think I said it?
But I am going to follow the pattern. I think that the Mariners will steady, but I think they're just a bit turbulent at the moment. And, you know, doesn't a coach love to get a result over their former side? I think that Alan Stadjic will be well up for this one, and the Glory will win at home.
I've just got visions of the Mariners having a really shocking season, but winning the AFC Cup and somehow making up for it. You know, I think they're going in the right direction under Mark Jackson, but it's not there yet. And I think Perth have deserved. They've put, as Stad said, they've put in 1.5 good performances this year. I think Perth will get the first win of the season.
Yeah, I can see there being quite a few goals in this one. So I think it'll be a very high scoring draw. Rounding out the weekend of Isuzu Ute A-League is Newcastle Jets again against Western Sydney. If Newcastle play in even half as interesting a game as last week, we should be in for a cracker. There were goals galore for both of these sides. Do we have a leaning one way or the other?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the Wanderers. I think that it's not going to be as crazy as the Jets victory game. I think that is maybe out of the system now, but I think that Western look organized and very, very solid. I'm sure we're predicting a Tate Russell masterclass, gents.
Absolutely. Tate Russell clean sheet, please. I'm going to go the Mariners. The Wanderers. I think with the Wanderers in this game, they are so good going forward. Newcastle haven't looked brilliant defensively. Newcastle can score goals, but then you're coming up against the Wanderers team that's yet to concede. Yeah, I think that will outweigh that, and I think the Wanderers will win this one.
Western Sydney win, Tate Russell hat-trick, you heard it here first. That's us done for another episode of the A-League's Fantasy Show. James Dodd, you've done some great job with the transfers today. You have a week off to rest and duck for cover if any of your suggestions don't work. Next week, it'll be myself. Matt, you'll be back, and Pakua Frimpong will be joining us. Of course, that will drop next Thursday night. We'll go over everything in the world of fantasy after this weekend's very exciting round of Liberty A-League and Isuzu Ute A-League. Of course, if that's not enough, you can't wait until Thursday. We've got the weekly Isuzu Ute A-League review show with our resident expert panel of David Wiener, Tom Smithies, and David Davutovich. They'll hit all the big talking points, and I imagine that original rivalry will be top of the agenda. To never miss an episode of that show or of ours, make sure you subscribe to the podcast feed wherever you get your podcast from. And to stay up to date with everything A-Leagues related, you can head to aleagues.com.au, keepup.com.au, or download the A-Leagues app. James, Matt, it's been a fun ride, I think, today. Thank you both for your time.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Lachlan.
Thanks, guys. And of course, for all of you listening at home, thanks for joining us. And remember to enjoy your weekend of football.